It's time for Focus, a weekly public affairs presentation of Simmons Multimedia.
Good morning, I'm Shonda Christensen, and welcome to Focus. This week, my conversation is with Karma Hansen, who is the coordinator for Safe Kids in Grand Forks, and we discuss summer safety. So Karma, the weather is changing, kids will be out of school soon, and we'll see a lot more children playing outside and riding their bikes. Can you talk a little bit about bike and pedestrian safety?
Well, this is the time of year when we've kind of been cooped up all winter, and now we're getting that itch to get outside and enjoy the evening, maybe if kids are still in school, or the weekends, you know, all throughout the day being outside and in the nice weather. That being said, we need to really teach our kids about the importance of the fact that there are other people that are probably out in the same spaces that we are, whether it's riding a bike or walking. Likely other vehicles that are in that same space if kids are crossing streets or near roads or that kind of thing. And it doesn't matter who has the right of way. Car mates kid, car's going to win every single time. And so, you know, teaching kids that just because there's a road there and their friend's house is across the street doesn't mean that they can dart across it and just assume that, you know, whoever sees them is going to stop or that there's not a vehicle coming. Really stopping, looking both ways, and then continuing to walk as you cross that street. If you're riding a bike, you need to act like a car. So you need to follow the same rules of the road that, you know, a motor vehicle does. So if there's a stop sign, you need to stop. And sometimes we get kids that will drive on sidewalks, ride their bike on sidewalks, and they just see it as, you know, one continuous path that they can keep going, not realizing that there are stop signs that they need to adhere to. Even though they're on the sidewalk, they need to act as if they are a vehicle and on the road. And so some of those things that they may not be thinking about as their mind is on playing and getting to their next destination to have some fun.
And how about those kids that are riding ATVs, motorized scooters, things of that nature? Do you have any tips for them?
Well, a couple things. I will say that when you're participating in wheeled sports activities like that, a helmet is important, no matter the age. An adult brain can get injured just as easily as a youth's brain can. And, you know, your brain does pretty important things for your body and control so much of your being that, you know, while we can fix a broken arm or a scraped up knee, a brain injury is pretty significant and can have lifelong consequences with it. So it's important to pick the right helmet and protective gear for the sport that you're participating in. We at Safe Kids have helmets available at a very reduced price. Bike helmets are a suggested donation of $12. Multi-sport helmets that are used for scootering, skateboarding, rollerblading, that kind of thing, a suggested donation of $16. If there are people from your part of the state that cannot afford a helmet or they would like to get them from us, they can contact our Safe Kids office and we'll certainly find a way to get those up to the community. We're going to be coming up several times this summer for car seat checkup events and things like that. So helmets are important. Now, with ATVs, they're a totally different helmet altogether. ATVs go at faster speeds, and the helmets that you need to wear are made of a thicker plastic and different materials to help protect that head. Now, that being said, I will say that we do really close watching of our data of patients that are coming into our ER, realizing that those are not just numbers. Those are lives of people that are being impacted. And I will say we have seen a really steep increase in the number of ATV incidents in our region as those vehicles have gone from being more of a farm vehicle to a recreational vehicle. And, you know, I think the mentality of some parents is that, oh, my kid's not old enough to drive a car yet, but I'll give him an ATV to ride on. And they are very, very dangerous pieces of equipment in that they go between 60 and 70 miles an hour. They weigh between 600 and 800 pounds. And what we know is that youth usually, until they're around that 16 years of age or so, don't have enough upper body strength to bring that vehicle to the upright position should it start to tip. So while I started with you need to have a properly fitting helmet, that is still critical. What we are also seeing is not just head injuries, but crushing injuries. And that's where a lot of the deaths on ATVs are occurring, is because of that big piece of equipment tipping over onto the chest of that person that's riding it. So I would say, you know, from Safe Kids standpoint and the American Academy of Pediatrics, no youth under the age of 16 should be riding on an ATV. If they are, that helmet and the chest protector is important. Putting them on a youth-sized ATV that's a little bit smaller, doesn't go nearly as fast, doesn't weigh as much, is critical. But getting them enrolled in an ATV safety course and then, you know, setting those guidelines or rules for the road about, you know, what is your expectation of those kids and where they can ride and how they can use it and, you know, making sure they're not horsing around with it. But like I said, every summer we start to see the number of injuries and deaths from ATVs go up. And we've worked really closely with Ag Country, one of our partners in farm safety and ATV safety. And this spring did some work with the University of North Dakota nursing students, and they were surprised even to see how dangerous those vehicles can be. So thank you for letting us get the message out about them, because they're very preventable injuries if you follow some good guidelines.
Yeah, of course. I think that, you know, when you live in a rural area, people use cars, they use bikes, they use motorcycles, but they also are utilizing these ATVs to get to and from wherever they're going. And like you had mentioned, they used to just be out on the farm, and now you see the street legal ones throughout town.
Yeah, absolutely. But I want you to think a little bit about an ATV. And I've oftentimes said, my son is now 26 and my daughter 30, but I've oftentimes said, you know, I would put my 10 or 12 year old behind a wheel of a car before I would put him on an ATV, in that a car has seatbelts, they have airbags, they have, you know, rollover bars that are built into the frame. ATVs have none of those protective mechanisms. And so if that starts to tip, which again, those youth oftentimes don't have enough upper body strength to bring it back to the upright position, that big vehicle is going to land on top of them. The other thing with ATVs is that the center of gravity can easily be shifted. Those vehicles are usually designed for one person, and many times when we see incidents, it involves, you know, two or three kids that were on that ATV. Well, anytime you put extra bodies onto it, you're shifting where the center of gravity is. And it's intended to be between where the four wheels touch the ground. But if you now have a driver and two other youth that are sitting on the seat, you know, maybe with their legs going off the side or the back or something like that, you've shifted the center of gravity, making it more prone to tip. The other thing about ATVs is that they are designed as a vehicle that's meant for off-road, you know, driving, so a different terrain. And you can go on, you know, and watch a YouTube video or do a Google search of ATV crashes on, you know, like asphalt or concrete. And what you'll find is that you can have an ATV riding down a street, and it will just all of a sudden, the way the wheels catch the ground, it'll just spin and flip the driver and any riders off of it, because the tires are meant for more of an uneven terrain. And so they can be really, really, really dangerous. And again, I would just caution parents that, you know, don't just put your kid on that and let them go at it just because they're not old enough to drive a car, because they're pretty dangerous. And then again, follow the rules in your state. There are laws about whether you can drive them on public land versus private land, and it's important to know what those rules are. And the North Dakota Parks and Rec has a great guide on their website talking about kind of the rules and the laws and a lot of safety tips.
And what about the kids that are staying with high schoolers this summer, or the kids that are being watched by an older sibling? What kind of tips do you have on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we oftentimes put younger kids in the care of a sibling, or, you know, you might hire a babysitter that's a high school age or a college age student. And, you know, it kind of comes with very little orientation, right? But you want to, you know, really assess, number one, whether that child is mature, developmentally mature enough, you know, to be watching other siblings or other kids. You know, do they know how to respond in the event of an emergency? Do they know about, you know, getting out of the house in a fire, finding their meeting place, call 911 once you're outside? Do they know what to do if the sirens go off and you've got inclement weather that's coming and things like that? Do they know what to do if a person is choking or they get a cut on their hand or something like that, some very basic first aid? And so, you know, there are lots and lots of babysitting classes. We offer some here within our community, and we do have some coming up this summer, not just in our community, but around the region. So I would encourage people to go to our website, safekidsgf.com, and they can look at where some of those babysitting classes are. Think about getting them enrolled in that, or at the very least, sit down with them and go through some of the rules and expectations and action steps they would take if they found themselves in an emergency situation. On our website, we do have a book called Safe at Home Alone, and it goes through some of those scenarios and some of those tips that people should know. So that would be one thing I would say. And then, you know, think about if that babysitter is going to be taking kids to destinations and they're going to be driving them, do they know how to put the car seat in? Do your car seats that are in your car even fit in maybe your nanny's vehicle? Are they too big that they don't fit in a smaller sedan or something like that? Maybe you need to purchase different smaller size seats. do they know what the rules are for, you know, when they go, they need to have a helmet, or when they go to the pool, they have to, you know, be together with a buddy? I mean, what rules and things do they understand? And just make sure that you're checking in on them, and to make sure that just because they know it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to follow those rules. So make sure that they are.
And on a closing note here, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I would say, you know, being a parent is probably one of the most important jobs you'll ever have, and yet it comes with the least amount of orientation. And, you know, we at Safe Kids are here to, you know, provide some trusted, credible information, kind of meet parents where they're at and understand that parenting is a tough job. And we can help provide them with some of the guidance on ways to keep kids safe, because we know, gosh darn, kids are going to explore, they're going to have fun. We don't want to take that away from them, but we certainly want to create an environment in which kids can do those things safely. So to that end, we do a newsletter that comes out quarterly, summer, winter, spring, and fall. We've got one coming out just before Memorial Day. And if your listeners are so inclined, I would encourage them to go to our website, again, safekidsgf.com. And along the right-hand side of that page will be a sign-up link where they can sign up to receive our newsletter. And in that, there will be some things that you'll say, yep, I already knew that. And there will be other things that you'll say, gosh, I didn't even know that that was an issue. And so we're here to provide some of that guidance and that direction, and really try to help people with making parenting and keeping kids safe just a little tiny bit easier.
Remember, you can hear the podcast version of today's program and all of our past shows by clicking on the Focus link at myborderland.com. For Focus, I'm Shonda Christensen.
You've been listening to Focus, a weekly public affairs presentation of Simmons Multimedia Stations. Time is available for responsible opposing viewpoints. Contact the Simmons Station at 701-256-1080 for more information. Join us again next Sunday morning at this time for Focus.